In our continuing study of the book of Revelation, we come now to chapter 7, which opens up an entirely different perspective, if I could say this, of the things that we have been studying beforehand. Because we are going to be introduced to some in-depth prophecies concerning the times immediately after Daniel, and also running right through to the end days, even the days that are yet to come upon us upon this earth. And so in chapter 7, I'd like to point out, first of all, that it was given in the time of the Babylonian Empire, and then we find that Daniel had this remarkable experience of seeing beasts arise from the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if we could look at this diagram now, please. I want to go back to our previous study on chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of an image. The head was gold, the chest was arms, and arms were of silver, the belly and thighs were of brass, the legs were of iron, and the feet were of clay. And we had the interpretation of this, where Babylon was the head of gold, Persia was the next empire, and then Greece followed Persia, Rome followed Greece, and then the feet of iron and clay with its 10 toes came out, or will come out, of the old Roman Empire. Now, in chapter 7, the prophet has a vision of 4 beasts coming out of the Mediterranean Sea. And these beasts are described in verse 4, for example, that he saw a lion. A lion. The first beast was a lion. Now we know from archaeological studies that the lion with eagle's wings was a symbol of the Babylonian Empire. The next beast he saw was that of a bear, and that is in verse 5. A bear. And a bear was a symbol of the Persian Empire. And then, following that, he saw a leopard. A leopard is very, very swift, and that epitomizes the Grecian Empire that followed. And then, after that, in verse 7, he saw a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. And of course, that beast symbolizes the Roman Empire, the legs of iron. Well, after that, he sees this fourth beast, that it has 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom 3 were destroyed. And this little horn had, if I could say this, the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. And so, this beast here has 10 horns corresponding to these 10 toes, And we're told after they come up, a little one comes up, speaking great and terrible things. And then we find that the interpretation is given in verse 11 of this little horn, and it was slain by the Lord himself. Now then, let us have a look at the interpretation that is given of this remarkable vision. As I said before, God calls the generations from the beginning. He knows every one of us. He knows before the foundation of the world our names. And in fact, King David said in Psalm 139 that Christ formed us in our mother's womb according to God's book. And so well does God know us that every one of our hairs has a number. So, not only does God know us all individually, but God knows the end from the beginning concerning the nations of this world, which, as Isaiah said, are just but a drop in the bucket for him. He sits on the circle of the earth. He calls the generations from the beginning. He has ordained history. And therefore, because of that, he can give these remarkable prophecies and visions to Daniel. And they revolve around those four empires: Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the ten kings that shall come out in the last days from that old Roman Empire. Now, turning back to chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, we find that the Lord makes it very clear exactly what is going to happen and what is the interpretation of this particular vision that Daniel sees. And the point that I want to bring out too is this: all scripture dovetails together. So that what we have read in chapter 2, we're reading again in chapter 7, but in more detail about these four empires. Well, now, Daniel, of course, wants to know what indeed is the interpretation. And so especially he wants to know about the last beast, the fourth, which we know as the Roman Empire, but also has these ten horns. And so in verse 20, Daniel is told concerning these ten horns that they are indeed ten kings that shall arise in the last days. And we have confirmation of that, of course, in the book of Revelation, whereas in the book of Revelation this same beast is seen in a different fashion, but again with ten horns. And clearly, we are told in Revelation 17, there are ten kings that must arise in the last days. Well, as we look on concerning these ten kings, one concentrates on the little horn, who will come up after them. And so, we want to see what is said concerning this little horn. Because, again in verse 24, the ten horns out of this kingdom, the ten horns out of this kingdom, out of which kingdom? Well, if we could turn to our chart again, we could see indeed which kingdom it relates to. It relates to the last kingdom, which is the kingdom of the Roman Empire. And so, out of this kingdom comes the ten horns, or ten kings. This is consistently repeated, not only in Daniel, but also in the book of Revelation. And so, I want you to realize that these kingdoms of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome must arise again in the last days. Well, what are we seeing at the moment? Well, Babylon, of course, is in the nation of Iraq. But Babylon is a city that is being rebuilt at the moment, but we are clearly told also in the book of Isaiah that Babylon in the last days shall arise again. And then Persia. Well, Persia is the modern day Iran. And the American president has called it one of the evil powers, along with Iraq. And he is certainly very correct there. Because these two nations will indeed come up, if I could say this, in a powerful way during the last days to wreak havoc upon the Middle East. And then Greece. Well, Greece at the moment is, if we could say this, dormant. It isn't moving at the moment, but coming down after Greece, we find Rome. You know, the European Common Market was founded on the Treaty of Rome in 1959. And this empire, the Empire of Rome, must arise again, but in the form of ten kings, or ten kingdoms, must arise from this old Roman Empire. And of course, you know, if we had been living in earlier times, it was clearly understood that the Roman Empire was the fourth empire. All Christians knew that in the 800s, first millennia, and they confidently anticipated that, you know, these ten kings would arise. Well, they haven't as yet, but things are moving very quickly now in the Middle East, and there are many things that have still got to be accomplished before the scenario is ripe for these things to come to pass. But they're written in God's Word so that we might indeed have hope that in the times of darkness that are coming upon the earth and trouble in every area, we might have hope that God has everything in His hands. Well, coming back to Daniel 7, we find that these ten kings, that another shall arise after them. And, of course, this one is the one that is, for us, of great importance. Because this one is the Antichrist. And he comes up after the ten kings have been established. And we're told certain things about this little horn, or this king. And it says he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, one point that's very clear, I think, here is this. If he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High, if he's going to wear out the Christians, then the Christians will be here. And he cannot wear out those in heaven. And so he is going to make war against the saints. He's going to make war against the Christians. And also, he is going to think to change times and laws. And we are told that they will be given into his hand. This little horn is the Antichrist. And he will rule over all nations. And he will seek to change the purposes, the ordinances of God. In a certain sense, we're seeing that already. It's almost as though, as Paul says in Thessalonians, there's a falling away. There's a falling away, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. There's a falling away of all morality in the world today. There's a falling away, if I could say this, of ancient laws, such that the governments of this world are permitting sin, which in ancient times was never permitted. I have lived many years, as I've said, and when I was young, things were quite different. And I am shocked and grieved at the changes that we see in England, America, and other countries that used to uphold the laws of God. They change them now. And even in our schools, you know, if I could say this, sin is taught. And people are encouraged to accept alternative lifestyles as though it was a normal practice. It's against God's law. But all these things are taking place to fulfill Scripture, that there would be a falling away so that the man of sin might be revealed and might come. And so he himself indeed shall change many things. But we will notice that there's a certain time that's ordained for him. You know, God holds everything in his hands. In the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon said, there's a time for everything under the sun. He even said there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And we see this very eloquently portrayed in the book of Daniel, where this Antichrist, this little horn, has a limited time accorded to him. And it is a time of 42 months, where he will indeed be permitted to exercise the fullness of his power. But after that, well, what do we find? That God comes on the scene and utterly destroys him. And in verse 26, but the judgment shall sit. You see, the judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. You know, in our last lesson, we made the point that there's a principle of God, that yes, evil is permitted. In the sovereignty of God and in his wisdom to flourish for a time. You know, King David experienced it, and he said the wicked seem to flourish like the bay tree, but in an instant they are cut down. God, in the last days, will permit evil, as it were, to reign in the person of the Antichrist. But you know, in his compassion for mankind, God has also made it very clear how long that Antichrist will have full reign, and only for 42 months. And then afterwards, his dominion shall be taken away. In fact, he shall be destroyed, we are told in verse 11. And so you see, God says, fine, I'm ordaining all these things. I'm permitting the Antichrist, but I'm limiting his time. I'm limiting his time. God decrees the times. And God limits a day, if I could say this. Throughout the Word of God, there is God's timetable when he does certain things. And so, he has a time period for everything that he does. And everything has its beginning, everything has its end. And thank God, he tells us, yes, this man of sin, this little horn, yea, he shall flourish, but only for 42 months. And then he shall be cut off. And his kingdom, well, shall be given to those whom he persecuted. Isn't that what we see throughout the Word of God? For us who are older, haven't we seen that in our lives? Haven't we seen those who have oppressed be taken away? Oh, yes, we have. You know, Adolf Hitler had his time. Mussolini had his time. Alexander the Great had his time. But in the end, they were cut off. You know, I remember I was in Australia and a communist magazine came out triumphantly. Will Joseph Stalin live forever? You know, God knew that that was coming out. And the day before it hit the streets, you know what happened? Joseph Stalin died. You know, God is not mocked. God permits evil to work out his purpose in the righteous. But there comes an end of evil. Evil is in the hands of God, if I could say that. And God limits their time. And what they did to the righteous will do to them. And so, the kingdoms of this world that shall be reigned over by the Antichrist, when after the Antichrist is slain by Christ, then the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our God, and also the saints or the Christians shall rule with Christ throughout the millennium. So I want to encourage you, you see. You know, whatever situation you're in, realize that God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of good works. But those that practice evil shall also receive their just reward too. And I want to encourage you, you know, as we look at the book of Daniel, to realize that God knows the end from the beginning. And therefore, he can tell Daniel with minutest detail exactly the things that are coming upon the earth. For with God, it's like, if I could say this, a television screen. You know, in television, we can show the past, we can show the present. We cannot show the future, but God can show the future. He can show the past, present, and future. And the future and the past and the present are all alike to our God. And so, to comfort us, he shows us indeed the things that are going to come to pass because he has ordained them. And I want you to be comforted. You see, not only has he ordained the things that are going to come to pass in the nations, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, all these historically have risen up, and that prophecy was given to Daniel whilst the Babylonian Empire was still at its height. But God said, Babylon shall be removed, It will be replaced by Persia, then Greece, then Rome. And then in the last days, 10 kings shall come up, then the Antichrist. But as God brought down the Babylonians, as he brought down the Persians, as he brought down indeed the Greeks and the height of the Roman Empire, so he shall bring down the Antichrist too. Now then, for our own personal life, you know, let us immerse ourselves with these tremendous prophecies. God is in control of the nations. They're like a drop in the bucket to him. He is so great. And as you fly and look out over nations, you see in reality how small nations are, and in effect how great God is. Now then, for your own lives, you know, God is in control. He has planned your life. Your life has a purpose. God says through Isaiah that he made not this earth in vain. God has a purpose for the nations. God has a purpose for your life. And I want to encourage you, as we come to a close now in this session, that you will ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you have purpose for me. For as God showed to Daniel what he had purpose for the nations, God can show you what his purpose for your life. And how comforting it is for God to speak and say, I will do these things for you. And how wonderful it is by faith. As we trust God, we see those things come to pass. And those that have perhaps risen up against us, well, what they sought to do to us, God will do to them. So be encouraged. Our God reigns. May God richly bless you.